This is CliffCentral.com.
I don't know why you call on me. Hey, 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 yeah. Hey, hey.
Okay, stop fighting, you two. Gosh, you're like the brother and sister I never wanted.
That means you have two new cool siblings.
You're either half dressed or you're not. Like, sort out. We're about to have guests in the studio here, and you look like you just had a weekend at Bernie's.
The drama of the entire situation, seriously.
Anyway, so we got a caller. Sean is on the line. Sean, hello.
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
Hi, Sean.
Good morning. Ben, how could you miss the story about Peter the Villiers?
Well, Sean, like,
do you know the story about Peter de Villiers?
He's the coach of Zimbabwe. What has Zimbabwe done in rugby, Sean? With all due respect to people north of
absolutely
Limpopo,
nothing. But come on, you guys were talking about some light news and something to be laughed at. Now to think that's something to be laughed at—that's ridiculous. And I saw a little video of his this morning. He's all happy about it. Now I'm just worried. You said Morgan Tsvangirai still in hospital. I'm thinking maybe Peter might become the opposition party there.
Well, you never know. He is quite charismatic. And I agree with you. That guy, he was given such a raw deal by Sarri. I mean, how can you go from being a bot coach to not being able to get a job? Like that, it boggles the mind. And the sad thing is, he then went to Namibia, I think it was. He was there for a bit. And then the Zimbabwe coach, and he is all right. He's actually really excited about this. Just goes to show there is no employment for him, which is terrible.
No, horrible. Anyway, I just thought I'd share that. It was funny for me when I saw the video of him this morning posting about how happy he is. Guys, have a good day.
But Sean, like, do you know of any of the, like, who does Zimbabwe play? Like, do they go on tours? Do like what is he going to be doing? Where is he going to be going? This is what I really want to know.
He
lost interest in his own story.
Done.
Jeez, Felicia, you thought that was funny, huh? Felicia's having the time of her life in that box. Yeah. Look, it's a non-story, unfortunately. But isn't it sad how you can be the bot coach and now you're a non-story getting excited about Zimbabwe?
Ish, this fall from grace thing is real. Oh, I didn't mean to bring in grace either.
You did.
But no,
well done. Well done. It's nice.
All right. So, hi. It's time for some news, and you can be a part of it if you want to chat to us or send us long messages like Graham that are thought-provoking and also have quotable quotes and stuff. WhatsApp 079-748-2090 or on the WeChat official account, Cliff Central official account there. You can message us just like Graham. Another message on WhatsApp. Went out for dinner and drinks with some friends. This is from Don. They say you shouldn't talk about three things at dinner: money, religion, and politics. They need to add one more thing: cryptocurrency.
Uh-oh.
Everyone's an expert, but no one actually knows what the hell is going on. See, but Don, this is the beautiful thing, is that when we talk about things we don't know about, you can tell a lot about the character of a person. Because, I mean, well, if someone's trying to be an expert in the bug roll about it, you're probably not going to get along with them.
As in, like, the...
No, it's a great way of, like, socially...
Show-offy person.
It's a great way of socially...
Sifting through the people that you don't need to be wasting your time with.
Exactly. That's why you must always talk about business and politics and religion and all these things. Because you'll soon find out who the few people are you actually like in life.
Ben, I'm no social expert, but maybe I think you need to change that. Sitting down at the table. So, the JSE today, hey? Dow Jones did incredible things on the markets. What do you think about...
Or, here's a refreshing take on things.
Yeah.
Or just admit when you don't know enough on a topic. This is where we trip ourselves... No. I'm being dead serious here.
Yeah, no, carry on.
This is where we trip ourselves over as human beings.
Mm.
There is always this pressure that we feel to be seen to know everything.
Yeah.
No, I actually don't know enough about cryptocurrency, so I cannot answer your question, and I actually can't participate in this conversation. But I'm going to sit here and listen to the rest of you who think that you know what the fuck you're talking about.
Hey, but who says that?
Me.
Yeah, but I mean, we...
This is what I'm suggesting we all start doing.
Yeah, that's what I...
But it's like Jimmy Kimmel has been doing this for quite some time, you know, asking people things in the streets, and then they don't know anything. So they just end up saying shit. Like, that's just what they do because they feel they have to have an answer about something.
Like the time you ask people in the street what gluten is. Nobody knew what gluten was, like, but yeah. They all have a gluten allergy.
And that's what I love. They first ask them, are you allergic to gluten? Yeah, I don't eat gluten. It makes me feel
I don't like gluten because I haven't got a passport. Or like, you know, political matters. Like, should Hillary Clinton be impeached?
Can she be impeached?
Yes. Definitely. For what she's done, the way that she's kind of, more or less, with the Russian deal and all that stuff going on, she definitely should be out.
Just out of his ass. It's just, this guy's got nothing.
You can see him. You can see the cursor of the mouse moving to the folder, clicking on it, downloading it, and then Russia comes up and he's like, oh, yeah, there was that Russian thing, the Russian email.
That guy had absolutely nothing. How about this woman?
Hillary Clinton should be impeached.
Yes.
For what crimes?
Really, I'm not a political person at all, so I really have no clue.
Well,
I don't know. Firstly, yes, without doubt, yes.
So, I mean,
would you support Congress in impeaching Hillary Clinton?
Yes, I would.
What are Hillary Clinton's impeachable offenses?
Just besides for numerous lies to the public.
Just besides the numerous lies. Mm. Let's go with the facts straight up.
Probably all the emails that, you know, mysteriously just disappeared.
What kinds of crimes would you include in the articles of impeachment?
Extortion, treason. If there was a Benedict Arnold law, it'd be her. So, yeah, basically.
What kinds of crimes would you include in Hillary's articles of impeachment?
That's like a wide range of crimes, political crimes. I think human crimes.
Yeah, damn those human crimes. And as for the political crimes, they're up there with the human crimes. When someone says, I mean, before they've even said anything that they need to mean, that's also a red flag, really. It's like, I mean, I don't know, what do you mean? You haven't said anything, I don't know what you mean.
I mean, the list could go on.
The list could go on.
Yes.
Political crimes, human crimes.
The list could go on. Here's the original guy back again.
What would it take for Congress to act now and remove Hillary from office?
Well, they really haven't done anything yet, so... I think they should get together, definitely, and say, hey, this, you know, we the people should take care of the people of the United States, and what she has done is wrong. We should impeach her.
You tell me what is a bigger threat to America.
Okay.
Climate change or Hillary Clinton?
Hillary Clinton.
Guns or Hillary Clinton?
Hillary Clinton.
ISIS or Hillary Clinton?
They're about even.
Would you like to look into the camera and call on Congress to impeach Hillary Clinton?
She needs to be impeached. Hillary needs to be impeached.
Kevin, do you think Hillary Clinton should be impeached?
I don't know. If she broke the law and they found out that she... Oh, impeached? Yeah. No, Hillary ain't even in office. Never mind, you try to get me.
There we go. So the whole thing was that you can only impeach a president, right? They were all like, yep, impeach her.
I do love the fact that the sensibility came from a guy who sounds like he likes sitting by the river, spitting tobacco. Because you know how judgmental people are.
He was wearing a Datsun hat. He probably drove a Datsun Pulsar and molested young boys in Springs.
Yeah, you see.
There really is something about it. I think the thing is we want to come off smarter than we are.
Yeah, but that is precisely the problem. Why are we all trying so hard?
Because we're trying to impress.
But who are you impressing when you start rattling off and sounding like an idiot? Because at the end of the day, you still don't know what you're talking about.
The plan backfires on you.
I mean, look, it's you. Some people, most people bullshit. Like, I sit here and I talk crap about things I have no idea about. But I got you guys to bounce off.
Okay.
No, so, my middle name is bullshit in social settings.
I'll tell you.
Do you know how many times I've brought in just Steinoff over the past few weeks? And wow. I don't know the latest on it. It's just like, wow, Steinoff in the news, hey? And then someone else. Sometimes it's just a conversation starter.
Okay. I'll tell you what isn't BS. It's our spending habits as South Africans.
Uh-oh.
The guys at BankServe have released their latest survey, and it tells some pretty interesting stories about our December spending from last year. Let me ask you this as a starter. How many times do you think you swipe your bank card in a month? Is it less than 10 times? Is it more than 20 times? Mm. Is it closer to 35?
Well, I live in the dream of e-bucks being something I actually need in life, so I swipe for everything.
Okay.
I only use card. I'm not a cash person. Also, money's dirty.
Okay, and your bank card isn't.
No, not really. It's I'm the only one that's ever owned it. It hasn't gone in someone's bra or had someone rolled it up for cocaine purposes.
Oh.
I mean, if I'm going to be very detailed here, Ben, like you hand your bank card over to someone. So
no, I don't. Like, I put it in the thing myself.
Oh, okay. Oh. So how many times do you think you're swiping then in a month?
I'm going to go with more than 30. More than 25. More than 25.
You see, I'm also not a huge cash-carrying person.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the time that means that you have to go to an ATM first to withdraw cash. And I really hate that process. So I actually do swipe a lot. For a lot of stuff as well. But according to BankServe, the highest recorded number of swipes by an individual in South Africa in the December period, 1,160 swipes.
In December?
In December. They're looking specifically at the December period because that's when we all basically, like, our brains shut off.
That's and outrageous. That's
1,160 swipes.
Well, that's basically paying for everything for a family of 27.
But you see, they specifically said an individual.
Yeah,
as soon as my wallet started
Jacob.
On this. Yeah.
I don't think Jacob actually swipes for things.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. It's
Do you think somewhere there's Jacob Chizuma, there's a bank card with
no,
it?
No, but like someone in his clan has got the Gupta card and they're just running around.
The biggest single transaction by an individual over last December was 5 million rand.
That's not the same person, is it?
No, not necessarily.
How do you...
5 million?
5 million rand.
What are you swiping for? It's 5 million.
What is your... are your bank limit settings look like? Yes, yes.
You just think, oh, it would be great to buy a new house. Well, let me swipe for that. Like, what?
What's like saying to a state agent, if you've got a card machine, like you would say to a waiter. Yeah, it's cool. I'm just going to go there. Can you just bring the card machine? I'm just going to buy the house.
Exactly. And then South Africans spent a total amount of 51.5 billion rand last December. That is 5 Ooh. Billion more than Ooh. December of Ooh. 2016. Basically, BankServe's latest survey showing that our swiping, spending, purchasing is completely out of control. And we know this, but we will continue to do it. 5 million rand for a single transaction, guys.
I would just love to know what it was.
I would also love to know what it was. Yo.
Like
it's not even a car.
What is that? It's a couple of cars, depending on what sort of car you're getting. Sure. And you just casually swipe for that. It was actually a similar conversation that my friends and I got into in the beginning of December last year, where we said, why is it that people that time of the year get surprised by December? And I was like, oh, December again. Oh, Jan is coming. Oh, I have no money. No, it's not a surprise. There are 12 months in the year. You know that December, you'll get time off.
You're speaking my language. This is what I keep saying.
And then Jan will come where you need to pay for things and the kids are going back to school.
Yeah. And it's every year.
Every year it's a surprise. So just like, oh, here we go.
There's even these things they sell in December. They're called calendars. They give you a heads up. And sometimes you can get cute puppies on it and like sports cars and whatever it is, there's a calendar.
But what has also been surprising for me personally over the past couple of weeks, I've had so many different institutions call me or mail me to offer me loans.
Oh, yeah,
now
that's
like,
a trap.
You qualify for a bloody, bloody, blah loan. And I just feel bad for the number of people who are really in a situation where they're like, actually... yeah, let me take that up.
Yeah, look, for the loan shark industry, a big business happens, you know, straight after December in the first few months of the year because they know that a lot of people have gotten themselves into a bind and a lot of people are going to be looking to find extra money to carry them over. So that is when it's big business for those people. Yeah, I also receive those calls all the time.
Oof. Yeah, I sometimes get the SMSs.
And you go, maybe if I just take it up.
Don't do it.
No, change my identity. Change my fingerprints. Move to a new country.
Oh, no. Don't start committing any crimes, people, because as we're about to find out from this next story, crime doesn't pay. Yes, they were right when they taught you that line way back in primary school. This is also a very bizarre story. A 52-year-old man shot himself in the head after he was pulled over by police in Johannesburg on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
It all began after police received a tip-off about a suspicious white VW Polo, which was parked at Kingfisher Road in Douglasdale. When they arrived at the scene, members of their crime prevention unit found the man inside the car, so they asked to search the vehicle. The man refused because the members weren't wearing police uniforms, but eventually he agreed to go with them to the police station. So they all set off in convoy. But instead of stopping at the station, the man in the VW Polo sped off and drove. Police then gave chase until the man pulled over at the corner of Witkoppen and Malebongwe. According to a police statement, when the man realized that he was cornered by the police, he pulled out a gun and shot himself in the upper body.
Whoa, upper body?
Yeah, he was declared dead at the scene. Then, a little while later, when police were conducting a search of the vehicle, they found the body of a 14-year-old girl wrapped up in a white duvet in the back seat of the car.
The back seat.
Sorry, not in the boot. The back seat. She had been shot in the upper body. And further investigation revealed that the girl was the man's daughter. Sounds like something out of a movie script.
Yeah, you can't make this up, huh?
At this stage, it is still unclear who shot her, according to Gauteng's police spokesperson, Captain Mavela Masonda. Quote, our information indicates that the man kidnapped his 14-year-old daughter, but we are still investigating other possibilities. What in the world is going on in people's homes?
Jeepers, what in the world did the police have to every single day deal with?
That is a good question.
I mean, there's also that. Like, these guys, I mean, I think we spoke about this last year, is that I don't think the police get the trauma counseling that they need.
Yeah.
And that's where they can go and fly off the handle, and they can also do these things. They start actually living out the crimes that they see every single day.
You're absolutely right. Because
this doesn't seem any... I know there's no normal in the world.
Yeah.
It's mostly just screwed up. But jeepers, how are you dealing with this kind of stuff? And dealing with this is the people you're dealing with on a day-to-day basis.
And you know, so often we as civilians will complain about how we get treated by the police. You know, if you go in to report a crime or something terrible happened to you, and really in that moment you're just looking for somebody to be sympathetic while you're going through the process of opening up a case, da-da-da-da-da-da. But then you forget that, you know, the guys that we're dealing with, you're right, Ben, they don't get any kind of trauma counseling. Yeah. They see all types of shit on their job every single day of their lives.
I think for a lot of people, it seems a sign of weakness to actually go and do this trauma counseling. It's like, no, I don't need therapy. I'm okay.
I think a lot of it also has to do with the fact that they're not equipped to offer them that as a service.
Yeah.
With the kind of resources that they're dealing with within the department, I really don't imagine that there are a whole bunch of therapists/psychologists, psychiatrists being sent out to sit down with police officers to say, so tell me how you're feeling. It's terrible.
To see someone shoot themselves.
Yeah, no.
I wonder what this backstory is. Look, is there a mother in the picture? What happened was, did the girl live with the father? There's so many questions. But, and I'm really, we don't know what was going on in his head. But I think he just felt like there was no way out of the situation. Clearly, he was guilty in some way.
Well, I mean, if you are...
You are found with a dead body in your car.
You're found with a dead body in
There's
your car.
There's no way you could, just stumbled upon here. Just happened to be here. It kind of reminds me of the story of this actor named Mark Selling. He used to star in Glee back in the day. And he was currently on trial for possession of child pornography. And he was just a few weeks away from being sentenced between 4 to 7 years.
Oh, that's a hectic story, yeah.
And he was found hanging in a forest near his home. I think it was last week. So he just committed suicide because it was also, I think, similarly a situation where he thought, well, they found me. You know, I've been caught out.
Mm.
I'm about to be sentenced. A minimum of 4 years, maximum of 7. There's nowhere out of this. He evidently saw no hope. So he's like, you know what? Let me call it a day. And he hung himself.
Oof. What a fine line, because, you know, you asked the question, did he hang himself because he's guilty or because he's innocent? And now he realizes that he's about to be sentenced to commit a crime that you didn't commit. But you say that they found him in possession of child pornography, so it would indicate that he is guilty.
Also, I think there's a lot of trauma about being a child star. We've seen it before.
Yeah.
You get into drugs, you get into the Hollywood pedophilia ring, which is still a thing. It's a tough gig.
Yeah. And well, then you're expected to transition into adulthood seamlessly, but it's never seamless.
But the adult world is boring. When you're a kid, you're a star. The adult world, you're just someone else. So you want to always go back to the kid world.
What's twisted is the fact that he was one of those older people who had to act as a child. So he was in his mid to late 20s acting as a teenager on the series. Meanwhile, the rest of the cast were teenagers. So that even screws you up even more. But yeah, it's just, geez, to feel like there's no hope and that's it and you commit suicide and yeah, it's just heavy, 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 heavy.
Mm.
And you know going to jail is going to change you.
Yeah, yeah.
Never, no, in various ways, but anyway. Yeah.
So, you know, the whole thing about, again, it's another story that we're trying to say maybe cover less of because we've been covering so much of it, but this is an interesting swing on things. So Cape Town, you should have 50 liters of water a day.
Yeah.
What do you think Americans on average have per day, liters of water?
If we are speaking liters, I'm going to say that they're probably having 3 times that 50 liters because, you know, America is also the land of excess. So they kind of do everything in supersize fashion.
Each American uses an average of 333 liters a day.
Ooh,
at home.
Oof,
what are y'all doing? Like, carefree flushing. What the luxury of it all.
But guys, this is just what's, you know, we say this is Cape Town's problem and, you know, all strength to them and that kind of stuff. But this is a global thing that we should be more aware about water. It's as simple as that. What do you need 333 liters a day for?
Mm.
Like, you're right. Like, how many times are you using the bugs?
A lot.
You just leave the taps running as well, out of fun. Just, hey. There we go.
That's outrageous. I mean, obviously, they've got great dam systems and they've got a lot of things because, you know, it's a smart first world country. But that's outrageous.
It would be interesting to have a country by country analysis
of who the big users are.
Well, probably not the British because they don't bath that often. Whoa. Just historically.
Okay, then. Mm. I mean,
no, it's just that's what they're, yeah.
I'm staying far away from that one.
I just got the visuals of browny, yellowy teeth.
Right? You had to go in for their teeth
Put yourself in the shoes of someone in Cape Town, and really, we hope it doesn't reach this point, but let's just say you are down to, I don't know, like a bucket of water even, or like a cup of water a day. What for you is your one thing? Would you rather shower? Would you rather say, I'll live with bad breath?
Oh my gosh.
I would actually live with a dirty body for a while, but I need good breath.
Oh no.
I'm sorry.
No.
At least with dirt on your body, you don't see.
Well, you see, nowadays there's options. So you could opt to use the water for your breath and then use those, what are they called? The showerless products?
Like a wet wipe situation, yeah.
Or a wet wipe. So there's options these days. Ooh.
Feeling the gunk on your own teeth. Oh, no.
No, you sorry. See, I would rather use the water for my...
No area,
and then rather like
your speeder area.
I'll stock up on mouthwash, like just rinse every day, gurgle and rinse. But my no area's gotta have water. Woof.
Once again, I say I hope it doesn't reach this point, but yeah,
Interesting to take it away from that. To take it away to actually having sex.
Oh. What's that?
Hong Kong. Do you think young people are having a lot of sex in Hong Kong?
Ooh.
I would imagine that they are. I mean, why wouldn't they be having...
Okay, we got 1 year. Here, what do you reckon? Hong Kong youth. A lot or little?
Well, I have 2 weeks left before I head over there, so I'm waiting. I don't know. I hope so for my case.
Whoa.
Oh, guys, I'm just saying. I just want a whole Hongkinese experience in 2 weeks.
Hong, 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 Hong.
Honorable Madisha.
So, Sia, you go yes or no?
I'll say, because I'm hopeful, yes.
The answer is no, guys.
Why?
The answer is no.
Why are they not?
Hong Kong, Hong, Hong, Hong. Youth are not having a lot of sex.
Why
are they not honging and conging?
Because they mostly live with their parents.
Oh.
Because of the population density of Hong Kong and the fact everyone lives in small apartments, there's no houses, there's no, like, you don't just go out there. So the kids they can't afford their own places. And I'm saying kids, I'm talking about in their 20s. They can't afford their own place, therefore they're living with their parents.
Mm.
You are an absolute cock block to getting it hung on in Hong Kong.
Oh.
Ooh.
That has not stopped the youth of the world.
So, no, but like the thing is, the youth of Hong Kong just simply don't have any places to bang. What a tough thing to live with. So what the youth is now doing, I keep saying the youth like it's some sort of movement, but basically young people, they're actually criticizing government in terrible town planning, in terrible societal planning, in that they don't have freedom to have sex because there's nowhere to live, so therefore they are so stuck. There's literally nowhere to bang, is what they were saying.
So,
how about that for a societal problem?
Oh, shame.
Yeah, look.
No, really, I feel...
If you have that many...
Such pity for them.
If you have that many chemicals raging in your body in the form of hormones and you can't have a way to release them, then yeah, I would think that it would turn into a pressure cooker situation. So now you're living at your parents' house. Can you at least, can you masturbate? Can you some headphones on your cell phone, connect to a porn site and sort yourself out?
Well, if it's a government initiative, what they should be doing is giving these parents like dinners out, you know. There should be a state-funded date night for the parents to leave you home alone. So then you can then, you know, have sex.
Oh.
Do you remember there was that campaign a while ago? Because, you know, people just aren't having kids nowadays. So you've got these aging populations in, like, Scandinavia.
Oh, yes.
And there was a state-funded thing where they would literally send you away on, like, a dirty holiday. You can go away whether you... Yeah, so if you married, a lot of times they're also still living with their parents. So there was a state-funded thing that they can send you away to go and actually go make sure you're having sex, having babies. And you can get a state-funded holiday to, like... Spain or whatever.
They should take a leaf out of the Japanese's page or book. What's the saying?
Take a page
out of their book.
Yeah.
Wow, English. Yeah.
Or a leaf out of their forest.
I don't know if it's true, but there was that story about how in Japan they have love hotels. I mean, it's hotels that specifically accommodate. Yeah. I mean, it's basically like saying, you know, if you want to have sex, we have a hotel. Like,
yeah, the rest of the world call them motels. She's Japanese. They try to make things sound like spiritual. Whatever.
They should do that in Hong Kong. They should just set up, you know, they should just say youth.
Don't have the space, Mubs.
They
don't even have the space
I don't know.
For like quick singles.
Then I don't know what the solution is.
So they must have boats. Because, you know, they've got like the harbor there and go out to sea.
Girl, that's a new definition of rocking the boat.
And then what you can have, you can absolutely change youth culture there. And we're talking about rebooting shows earlier. There's no apartments. There's no space to have that. So you get these boats together. And then you've got like just the absolute greatest thing for the Hong Kong youth to be a part of.
Okay.
Hong Kong, Hong Kong, Hong Kong, Hong Kong.
Love.
Come bang on our boats.
Yes, Ben.
Your parents won't know. But we're expecting you.
Oh, yes, Daddy.
Hong Kong love boats.
Hong Kong, Hong
Kong. Sure.
And the cool thing is that because it's there's so many youth that want to bang, again, state funding.
Yeah.
State funding is a big thing. Hong Kong.
Hong Kong. Who needs Gareth Cliff? We're now also doing really, parody like, songs here.
It's fine if he never comes back. It's okay. Yeah, sure. Okay.
But guys, it makes a lot of sense, though. It really does. So you're creating employments, and then obviously this the whole boat business. But it's kind of it's fun because then you're going to have people who are doing like normal things. Because like when you go on a cruise, you're old and life's kind of passed you by mostly. Seriously, the people were not young on this show. But like you can have this whole different spin on like local cruises. And it's just one big hookup party. DJs, drinking.
You know, it really is interesting in life, the kind of societal problems that different countries have.
Yes.
You know, in Hong Kong, the youth are complaining about the fact that they're just not getting enough sex.
Mm-hmm.
You bring it back home here, and the complaints is that our kids are far too out of control with the sex they're having. They're popping babies out left, right, and center.
Like houses just, in Rosettenville, they're just open for sex.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, it's interesting.
In America, the youths are complaining about Friends, the reboot of Friends.
The degrees of the problems that we deal with in our societies, it just makes one think.
So, there we go, Hong Kong.
Well, I really, being the amazing humanitarian that I am, will try to solve the situation by opening up my hotel room to anyone in Hong Kong who needs help.
Okay.
And by anyone, that I have many terms and conditions.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hang on a second. Gareth's back next Tuesday, and then and then you're basically close to being away yourself.
Yes.
So take us through this Eastern Odyssey that you're going on.
Eastern Odyssey.
Yeah.
No, carry on.
Yeah, doing Hong Kong for a couple of days and then going to Bali as well. But Hong Kong is the one we focus on right now. I can gladly share my hotel room. I will send out details, leave the door open.
Mm.
Yeah.
Are you going to have, are you traveling alone?
No, with a friend.
So are you and your friend going to be looking to solve this particular problem together, or are you going to have your friend standing outside the door manning the queue to your hotel room?
Exactly. They'll facilitate. Now that it has come to my attention, we need to work on things right now.
You know what, Sia? Good for you. Good for you for trying to solve a problem.
Thank you.
But now, this friend, Sia, how close are you?
Oh, my goodness. We've known each other since grade 4, so that was 2005. You can do the math. 13 years.
Guy or girl?
Girl.
Does she know what she's really getting herself into?
Because, what do you mean?
So yeah, going for dinner with you in like 4 ways
Ooh.
Is a disaster. Going for dinner with you in Asia,
what are you guys saying?
Is going to be the single most painful experience.
I just don't understand why you guys feel like
you are the kind of person who say, I would like to order the grilled chicken, but can you please peel the skin off my chicken, then cut off the white meat and make sure to just give me the bone on the plate?
And they were going to serve you dog to start with.
That's how you place orders.
If that's your order, that's your order.
Wow.
So yeah,
we're going to have a delightful time.
You are going to get the most interesting things put in front of you. And I'm not saying it's a disrespect to Asian culture. Mm. I love the food there. I've been there many times. It's one of the best things about going there. But that's because I am an open-minded eater and I love food. You're going to get deported.
Yeah.
Seriously, there's going to be... You're going to be in
and you think I'm the dramatic one by using terminology like that?
Asia, look out. Trust me. Not having sex is the least of your worries right now. Sia Sangweni is coming
Absolutely
to your restaurant.
Absolutely not. I've heard Hong Kong has great nightlife. They even have a Disney World there.
How many extra jobs do you have? You know how expensive Hong Kong is?
We have...
you have what?
We make plans.
So how long are you going to be in Hong Kong for?
3 days.
3 days.
Mm. It will be fine. I think it's actually a bit too short. I would have flipped it over because in my mind, I'm doing my own little version of Eat, Praying, and Loving. So I'm going to Bali as well for 7 days. I would have rather flipped them over. But...
No, you got it right. Why do you want to be in a city for a week and a beach for 3 days?
Because he's just heard that he can now have as much sex as he wants in Hong Kong. That's why he wants to flip it over.
No, but what do you do for so long in a beachy town? There's literally nothing to do in Bali unless it revolves around water or hiking or a lot of physical exertion. Anybody got time for that? I need a drink. I need a, to party. That's what I need to do. But anyway, it's exciting. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I wish nothing but the best, but it might change your horizons, because what you just said now made no sense whatsoever.
It might change their horizons. Sorry. Yes, Ben. Yes, you're Uncle Ben.
Okay, you know what? I think the show is starting to slowly go down towards the
gutter. Yeah, I think it's time for us to elevate the conversation here.
We need to class it up. Yeah.
Yes, we do. And we are going to do that with the help of our next guest, who is joining us in just a few minutes. Who the founding editor of an online career and lifestyle magazine, which is titled The Corporate Candace, Zimasa Kolohle, joining us in just a few minutes.
So before Zimasa gets in here, well, while Sia goes and sashays out there with his non-tie kind of thing, we're going to get a photo of this for Instagram. Deadpool's coming out. I'm hugely excited about Deadpool. I love this movie.
This is the second one, ne?
Yeah.
Right into it.
Dramatic.
People think they understand pain, but they have no concept of it. What's the most pain you've ever felt? Maybe the kind that leaves you more machine than man.
Wait, no, stop! What in the actual ass? Dale, why are the visual effects not done? It's a metal arm! It's not like we're trying to remove a mustache! Ah, fuck it. I'll do it myself.
I'm Cable, and I'm from the future, and I like blowing shit up.
Pew, 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 pew. Reach for the sky!
Oh, no. Sheriff Deadpool.
You know, you're a lot taller in the...
Shut up, you little asshole. Take this...
Oh! Regeneration powers, activate!
That's not something you say.
Zip it, Cable.
I got the stones to help you.
No! No biting. They're done already? Oh, wow, that was unrealistically fast. Okay, hit it.
So basically, there's a new villain called Cable, and he's taking on Deadpool in Deadpool 2. And there's explosions. There are huge special effects. And, good slow-mos.
Your time's up, you dumb fuck.
Well, that's just lazy writing.
May 16th. I love this movie for a lot of reasons, because it's one of those superhero movies that doesn't take itself too seriously. And Ryan Reynolds is hugely funny. So basically what he has done with this is he's created this as like, this is his Marvel character.
Mm-hmm.
So he did a whole bunch of really... I'm really sorry, Samasa, but this is very boring for you at the moment. But I've got to do my Deadpool plug, because I love the movie so much. So basically, he did all these cucky superhero movies that everyone hated, and now he found Deadpool, which is like this anti-hero, which is kind of tied in with his character. When you think about it, it's really smart, because he's kind of really rejuvenated his career. He's reinvented himself now as Deadpool, and he's having so much fun with it. Like, and he's making so much cash because he's a producer of all this stuff. Smart.
Good for him, though.
That's like super, super smart.
I hope he's making a ton of money from it as well.
Yeah, and like obviously he's like good looking and rich, and he's married to like a beautiful woman. He's got kids and he's funny and like all those things.
You know what? Ryan Reynolds has achieved something that a lot of men wish they could. He was married to Scarlett Johansson, and now he's married to Blake Lively.
That's
so
just it.
Like, I'm sorry, my guy.
Like, for a lot of people...
Much respect.
For a lot of people, if you marry Scarlett Johansson, that's the pinnacle. With him, it was like...
I don't know. I think I could take this up a level.
Yeah, there's more. Speaking of which, remember Scarlett Johansson, I think it was last year, she said, look, I'm not about this relationship life. I'm just going to hit it and quit it.
Really?
Yeah, she went publicly said...
Wow.
She publicly made this a whole thing. And, like, you never heard from her since. So she's obviously...
Busy.
Maybe Hong Kong love boating.
Actually... Speaking of which, and our guest is already in the studio, Zimasa actually did the exact same trip I did, and she did in December. So she's not judging me either. She did Hong Kong and Bali.
Zimasa, as someone who is obviously hugely intelligent,
what
do you think?
Far more intelligent than C.
what do you think of my Hong Kong love bird idea? It's gold, huh? It's okay. There's no copyright infringement. If you want to steal it, you can take it. But what do you think? I mean, that's a win, right?
I hear what you're saying.
I feel like there's a but.
yeah, I guess, yeah, go for it, hey? Do what Ben said you gotta do.
As she uses hand gestures galore to suggest certain things that I don't know.
Okay, anyway. All right. So now, in a world that throws countless problems at us on a daily basis, a lot of people always look for solutions to solving their problems. And, you know, we've just come out of this big slump of a sluggish economy. And a lot of the times, a proposed solution to dealing with that kind of situation is to, you know, really ingrain this idea of entrepreneurship in South Africa. And Zimasa, you're joining us here this morning as an entrepreneur, as somebody who's heavily entrenched in that business. We're going to get into all your different accolades at the moment. But yes, let's talk about the idea of people wanting to become entrepreneurs and then people actually successfully becoming entrepreneurs. Because I think the idea of, yes, I'm going to start a business is great, but then how do I translate that into actually implementing it and taking it off the ground?
I think it starts by just acknowledging first and foremost that it's actually just not for everybody.
Which is a tough thing for a lot of people to hear and to admit.
It is not for everybody. And I also want to get one thing straight. Working for a 9-to-5 is not failing. Just as being an entrepreneur is not some form of success either.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can be successful in whatever it is that you do. And like I repeat again, entrepreneurship is not for everybody.
It just seems to be this fairy tale that people are told to do because it shows your independence and you've got courage.
And you don't have a boss.
Yeah. And it's like, I got my own hours.
I work for myself.
The thing is, not everybody is meant to, for example, work for themselves. Do you understand how hard it is to write your own pay slip?
Deep,
you know, and you're literally writing your own payslip or your employee's payslip or whatever the case may be, and it's not for everybody. I'm not fully immersed in it. I literally run my business while still being in my 9-to-5.
Which is what?
My 9-to-5.
Yeah.
I'm currently working at a major financial institution.
Okay.
Yes. In Rosebank, in the legal department.
Oh, jeez, girl. Like, what are we doing with our lives?
It's not that big a deal, trust me.
No, but see, that's exactly why I wanted to get her opinion about my idea.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we've got educated and highly skilled in the studio here.
So take advantage of the moment, yes.
But it's tough, honestly, just to get back to what you were saying. And right now, I literally use my salary to literally fund my business, you know, so that my salary funds my business and my bonus is what started the whole business. And I'm very fortunate that I've been able to, over the last 2 years, especially out of the 4 years that I've been running it, really start generating a great profit from all of that. But it hasn't been easy. I mean, I'm still in my 9-to-5.
Mm.
And that is the truth. And when I'm going to leave, I don't quite know. I have a date in mind, but I just think it's really important for people my age or young people to know that there's not, you're not a failure if you're a 9-to-5, and you're not a success if you're an entrepreneur. You're a success no matter what you make yourself a success in.
That's true. I just think with the whole entrepreneurial thing is that we're kind of seduced into it, but one thing we never ever realize is how relentless it is. Because when you have a good week and you go, oh, that's so cool, I made so much money, I thought I'm gonna maybe take Monday off, but the thing is that next bad week is probably the next week, or it's close by, that kind of stuff. So it's this discipline which, you know, you don't get taught that in school. It's an innate quality, I think, as you say. It's not for everyone. Some people do have it. But it's just, I know from, I had a real job once.
Oh.
I had a real job. I had a real job, and I parked in a parking bay with other people, and I got one of those weird slips that some woman I never knew the name of gave to me, and it had numbers and things and whatever. I was paid. I was a salaried employee. I look back and I hated it, but it was so fundamentally important because it taught me real world things. And when you're going through a time where you're not entirely sure of yourself, it's kind of cool to chill with the salary for a bit because you can have a couple of days and go get hammered with your friends.
But and then, still get paid.
Yeah.
And you know that salary is coming, come hell or high water.
Exactly. And then I thought, okay,
the debit orders will go off.
Yeah. I thought, okay, well, how hard can it be? I'm making money on the side. That'll be enough in the beginning. And then what I do is I just go from strength to strength.
Mm.
And then you have like a couple of bad months. And now you're going, okay, Jesus, this is quite difficult. Like it's really difficult. But because I had life skills from the corporate, I managed to apply that and obviously find ways of working around it. if you go straight from university or you go straight from, I don't know, some sort of education and you think that's it, I'm going to open my business, you do actually lack a few of those qualities. And a lot of the thing is also just a bit of humility as well. When you're working with people who are very smart and around you and you actually understand your place, like, rap music ruins it for us, saying that we're the best in the world on day one.
You mean DJ Khaled ruins it for us?
We're the best.
We're the best.
That's who's to blame.
No, it's terrible. But, like, something I was interested in chatting to you about. So, you've created the corporate canvas.
Yes.
And I think for a lot of people, getting into the job market is hugely daunting. Now, this is something you must have conversations about all the time. And it's about, like, what's the platform? Like, we know, like, LinkedIn's kind of cool. But if you want to be on LinkedIn Premium, which they always push to be like this thing which can slingshot your career, it's like $400 a month.
It is.
Work out your operating expenses. $400 a month, that's more than gym.
Oh, yeah. That you put it...
That's double my gym.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so that's LinkedIn Premium or whatever it is. So we're always told in school, like, have a CV and there's certain templates out there. But, I mean, CVs, you don't know what the employer is looking for. You might think your CV is amazing. It's three pages and it's got this and that. And then a guy's going to look at it and go, this is crap.
Yeah.
And barely read past it. So what you're basically doing is you're creating a platform where people can not only be exposed, and it was obviously shown, but you actually amend CVs. You kind of showcase the kind of things that employees are looking for as well.
100%. So,
that to me straight away seems like it's a different kind of aspect that is worth having.
It is, you know, and I'm just going to go harp on your point of how they just throw it away. So what the inspiration behind it was honestly because I have working for such a huge corporation. I mean, you'll have friends in all departments, legal, finance, HR. And I have a couple of friends in HR, and I kid you not, I'm telling you now, anyone who's out there, some of them, they don't even go past the first page. They just throw it out. Just on aesthetics alone. It is the truth. This is stuff from HR that I can tell you for a fact.
So now when you say aesthetics, is it like a design thing or is it important to have a picture of yourself? Like, what are the first, like, real checkpoints that are key?
It's actually just more about how you lay your CV out. So if you are still having the full page that has your ID and that you're a female and that your health is in order and that you have a driver's license, it's out the door. Your CV is completely out the door. You need to already, from the first page, have all the most important critical factors about yourself, just staring at them in the face immediately. It's not even about necessarily your name. It's literally from, your name can literally just be in the corner.
Yeah.
Top left-hand corner of the CV. But as long as we have your experience right there and then, ready for them to see, they'll actually consider you.
So really, to have the perfect analogy to this, if you were somebody who is selling an experience, there's no point in you standing there in your lingerie to tease the person. You've got to be there with your boobs out and everything, like, ready to go. I must sell myself immediately. I must get straight to the point.
The full thing.
Yeah.
Full Monty.
The whole thing.
The whole Hollywood thing.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well. So you say that you recognize this and being in corporate and how is managing corporate nowadays as a young person in South Africa with facing our realities? Because as you want to go out and you want to do your own things, and in creating this as well, as given everything that you've learned, what do you hope people get out of reading up on the articles on the corporate canvas and learning about you as well?
I think really the main reason why I started the corporate canvas is just so that other young people like myself who are going through a very difficult time in corporate, because it's cutthroat.
Mm-hmm.
You will lose your soul. You will lose your soul. It's not
we are not doing corporate with yourself today.
No, it's not a joke.
At least get a parking spot, as Ben mentioned.
If you're lucky these days, you know. It really is a tough, tough world to be in. And so the articles on there are really about how to navigate it, from how to deal with victimization in the workspace, to how to deal with harassment, to how to deal with difficult colleagues, to how to deal with your boss, to how to ask for a promotion and a raise, because it's so difficult to do those things.
Exactly, and understanding your value.
Like, understanding your value, just knowing who you are within corporate. And we really just have articles on really, really, truly how to navigate yourself as a young professional and just how to grow as a young professional. It is such a tough world out there. To be honest, I actually started the corporate canvas out of experiencing victimization myself. I was 24 years old in a graduate program at a huge corporation, a huge bank. And in my first year, I had a boss who victimized me to the point where I was crying endlessly on a Sunday night up until 1 a.m. because I was so scared to go to work the next morning. Sure. And now I'm 23 and I'm thinking to myself, then I can't be the only person feeling like this. Mm. You know, I can't be the only person feeling like this. And there must be other people going through.
Sadly, you weren't, yeah.
I wasn't, far from it. There must be other people going through what I'm going through. And I actually started this platform where we talk and we engage on these very critical matters as young professionals and as entrepreneurs as well, you know. And that's kind of the solution. That's kind of the problem I'm trying to solve.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, on the platform, it's not very easy being a young professional or even a young entrepreneur. I mean, there's so many, talking about entrepreneurship, there's so many articles I've been reading recently about how the psychological effects of entrepreneurship on young people are actually more dire than we think they are.
Sure.
In what way?
Well, see, I mean, a lot of people don't ever want to fail. Okay, you know, Will Smith was going on about the whole, you have to fail to succeed.
Mm.
But, okay, that's all
your
great.
That's Will Smith impersonation.
But I mean, yeah. like, how do we deal with failure? Is it something that we build from, or is it something that really knocks us down? Because if we don't prepare ourselves for it, you can be completely traumatized by the experience, and there goes your confidence. And you need to be confident to do these things by yourself.
Never mind that. I actually have a friend who just came back from Silicon Valley for the last 3 months, right? And we all know Silicon Valley to be the hub of all things creative. Facebook is headquartered there. Yeah. Who else is headquartered there? Uber.
Everyone.
Yeah. Everybody, basically, you know. And I spoke to him on Monday and he says to me, he's just been in Silicon Valley for the last 3 months. He says, you will not believe the homelessness taking place in Silicon Valley.
Wow, you never hear that word.
What?
Homelessness Silicon taking Valley homeless. Place. People are sleeping under their desks in these startups because funding, cash flow, what are the cases? Apparently, there's two startups that he knows of. One that you all know, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Two that you all know, I won't mention. That he went to go visit and spend some time at. They've both hired security guards, those two startups, to actually go at night, look under the desk to see if no one is sleeping there.
Because people who work there have nowhere else to go.
Nowhere else to go.
Wow.
That's
now, the psychological effect of that.
No, yeah. If you think about how competitive Silicon Valley is, though, kind of makes sense when you hear that the repercussions of being in such a competitive environment is that people have no place to go to at home.
He says there are some startups, famous ones, and not so famous ones, well, you won't believe how many come and go. And it's so cutthroat. It's, okay, you're failing, get out. We need to use this space, this office space. Thanks.
But it's quite an interesting point that when you say competitive, you know, when you talked about how you had this boss who victimized you, is that I reckon, and I'm sure this is kind of the case, this is why it's so imperative that you get the information you're dispensing, is that when you get into boss status, you've gone through the ringer. You've been victimized yourself. It's like high school bullying all over again.
Yeah.
And the whole thing about all jobs, and we know in the certain economy, is that it's so competitive. So people believe that you can be replaced the next day.
Mm.
There is 50 of you out there. So when you go into the workplace and you think, I'm going to make a difference, I'm me, they just see you as being one of a number. Same with the startups. It's like, I'll get someone to sleep under the desk. Or there is a general lack of respect for where you are at those lower levels. And that is why this is such a serious thing to be in. But something that I just saw this now on your website as I scrolled down is that you're offering medical aid advice. Financial advice.
Yes.
Again, like, you don't get taught this at school. My girlfriend and I always talk about this. The school curriculum should be, before you leave school, you understand what tax is.
Yes.
You understand how to file this. You understand what a medical aid is. You understand what a hospital plan is. You understand what a savings plan is. You understand what a unit trust is.
You understand what investing means.
But it should actually be something that you are marked on. It's not just some guy coming to school and going, kids, I'll tell you what, the best thing in life is to invest.
And trying to sell you something at the end of it.
You forget about that. You need to be tested on this stuff, because when you get into the workplace and you get that first salary, just think, when you've made, I don't know, a few odd jobs here or there, you're getting paid in cash. Now if someone's actually putting a lump sum into your monthly account, you look at that and you think you're a rock star.
The first thing you want to do is blow it.
Yeah, exactly. And
I blew my first salary hard on a flat screen TV.
Exactly. And you're someone of good mannered balanced thought, I imagine.
No, I blew my first salary so hard.
But that's just it. Because as soon as we get into this, and we're around our peers, who, this is how we talk. We talk about flat screens. We don't go, well, yeah, tell you what, the dividend on this yield and that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
So this is absolutely amazing. And maybe this is something you could even take to a school level. You know, is this something that you see, like, how you're going to progress the corporate canvas as well?
Well, what my ultimate dream is right now at the corporate canvas is actually just to start. Okay, so there used to be things called finishing schools back in the days where they'd actually teach young girls how to put on their makeup, how to eat with a knife and fork, all of that, like a charm school etiquette thing. I want to 2018-anize that and kind of really take it to schools and actually teach them things like networking, how to hold a conversation with someone more senior than you, how to open an account and actually how to maintain a savings account, how to invest, how to have conversations with your boss, how to dress for work, how to dress for an interview. You know what? Ooh. Do you know how many people... Do you know how many people... This will scare you, but I actually want to ask you guys, do you have the perfect answer in 30 seconds if someone were to ask you right now of tell me about yourself?
Well, don't ask Sia that because it won't be 30 seconds.
It won't be 30 seconds. Well, it'll be 3 hours.
What?
Jeez. Well,
actually, that's good because that's
I don't
in
think
a
I
lot
have
of cases
answer.
How they open up an interview
tell
and
me
you're
about
already
yourself.
Now flawed if you...
You're flawed. Most people can't answer that. On the side, for free, I actually offer interview services to students, you know, and you have no idea how many of them I say, okay, tell me about yourself, and they have nothing to say or they just wobble and they're not going to get the job. I'll tell you now.
Because I think for a lot of people, is they're so scared of saying the wrong thing. But, but you must always have a sort of generic, will work in all purposes kind of explanation
always.
Planned.
Always. And so that's where I want to develop the corporate canvas into this school that kind of just prepares you for corporate life, for networking life,
life. You're going to be rich. I'm going to say that right now. You're going to be rich. Like every single touch point I've seen in your website and how you presented this, this is real stuff that people need.
Thank you.
And that you actually, you're going to be thrown to the wolves if you don't know this kind of stuff.
So what is going to be the next phase as far as the corporate canvas is concerned? Does it need an app? Will there be an app? Or like, how are we thinking here? How big are we thinking of going?
We are actually still thinking about it. So it's been the platform for the last for 2 years, and then we developed the online store, which we offer CV redesign and editing services, cover letter review services, as well as we design rate cards for small business owners.
That is so useful.
That because there's so many people who have side hustles and businesses on the side where just something as simple as a rate card, and we actually offer those services at an affordable price. So we have the online store there available for CVs, rate cards, and cover letters. We want to now, we also have events. We had a big event just last year that was actually sponsored by Mercedes-Benz.
Oh, the Pursuit of Excellence Network Gala.
Yes. So we want to start having more events. But as regarding the more digital side of things, we're still trying to figure it out. I think an app is kind of overdone. I don't think I want to do an app.
Well, it's expensive and you're looking for a lot of data usage on the end user as well.
Exactly.
So it's not always a fundamental anymore.
So I'm trying to figure it out. I think it's more expanding the online store and adding products that are really, really useful to people.
Well, those networking things, because, you know, when you look at old money in the world, a lot of it stems from old networks.
Yes.
So when you get into a position, you're going to be making money because you're in a silo of excellence. A lot of, I think a lot of third world countries in general, I think a lot of emerging markets, we don't have that sort of luxury.
No, if you look across,
unless you know, if your dad and your grandfather didn't go to the same school, I mean, you're obviously on the back foot with this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But you can create these modern networks where people share these skills.
Still happens now. I have a nephew. We're trying to get him into CARES. And we went to CARES the other day and they said, sorry, this is only... And my husband went to CARES.
Yeah.
And so it's my husband's nephew. And they were like, sorry, there's only space for sons and siblings.
So nephew doesn't
in
quite
2018,
cut it.
Hey? They're like, no, sorry.
All right, guys, so we're going to wrap it up. This hour has flown by. Shucks. I'm excited for you.
Yeah.
And I'm just excited about the fact that, you know, people have... I mean, you're young. We can use the word young. I'm still technically young. But
don't take that away from her. She's young. That's why she was a game changer, top 40 and game changer.
No, we didn't get into your accolades.
Hey, now.
But the whole thing is that you are seeing how you would like people not to go through the same experiences you had. And you're imparting this. And, you know, I wish you all the best. And I'm almost certain this is going to be a great business for you as well.
Thank you. God willing.
So there'll be a time when we get you back in here where you won't have and corporate job on the side. Because this is it. I really do. I really
God willing.
Listen, one of the daily stories that we're used to hearing in this country is the high unemployment rate among young people. So, you know, if you have a way of making your way onto the corporatecanvas.co.za, log on to there. Maybe that will serve as a starting point for you to figure out exactly how to get that job that's been evading you.
I mean, if I found this 10 years ago, I probably wouldn't be here.
Right now. Yes.
You'd be in Silicon Valley and not one of the homeless people, Ben.
Yeah, under a table in Silicon Valley. Okay, catch you guys back tomorrow. Tomorrow is Friday. If you missed anything, cliffcentral.com. Otherwise, catch The Bounce Show at 10 a.m. this morning because it's a big sports show and I'm hosting it. Thursday's a busy day for me.
This is cliffcentral.com.